Aloha, and welcome to Talking Pictures. Sorry about that. Aloha, and welcome to Talking Pictures with your host, Paul Booth. Today we're going to be joined by producer Connie Flores of a film titled Kumuhina, that's been playing all over the country. And once Connie joins us, we'll be getting into that. But today I want to dedicate this show to the great Mike Nichols, who passed away last night or today, but it hit the news today. I think we all are Mike Nichols fans, from The Graduate to Catch-22, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, The Birdcage. So usually I do a Netflix recommendation and a theatrical recommendation and a library recommendation. So today for Netflix, unfortunately they took down Working Girl and Regarding Henry, but for Netflix, if you want to pay tribute to Mike Nichols, get on there and check out The Graduate. There is two forms of film, Pre-Graduate and anything made after The Graduate. The Birdcage with Robin Williams, hilarious film, fits today's film theme. Wonderful, fantastic performance by the late Robin Williams. For theatrical, get out there and see Dumb and Dumber 2 if you want a great laugh. If you want to just laugh the whole time, try not to laugh too much because you'll miss some jokes. We also have, for your library picks, Hunt Down Regarding Henry, directed by Mike Nichols, with Harrison Ford and Annette Bening. This is pre-American Beauty Annette Bening, so she's not the big star that she is now. And then Charlie Wilson's War, which garnered an Oscar nomination for Philip Seymour Hoffman. It's based on a true story. It's got a powerhouse of a cast, Tom Hanks, Julia Roberts. It's just a wonderful, wonderful film, and I highly suggest it. And it's really sad today to hear the news of Mike Nichols passing, because he was a great director. He changed cinema. He did it at such a young age. And we really need to appreciate these classic films and these classic directors who came in and did it for the love of cinema. They didn't do it, he didn't do it to change cinema. He didn't do it to, are you with us, Connie?
Yes, aloha.
Oh, welcome, welcome, aloha. I was just finishing up the sad news this morning of the passing of Mike Nichols. I was just finishing up my recommendations of his films and also a couple of his gems that are past that we all love, The Graduate and Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. So for all you guys, get out there to your library and check out some of those unknown gems like Working Girl and Regarding Henry. And he just made such contribution to film and Broadway, and it's really a loss. And so this show is dedicated to him. With that, because I discussed, Connie, how The Birdcage is on Netflix, and I think that's a perfect leeway to what we're going to discuss today. We have Connie is joining us from Hawaii. She's a Hawaii-based film producer, and this show is about getting behind the scenes of film, but also I'm usually mentioning on shows that people need to understand the importance of relationships and networking. I personally do not like talking about myself on this show, but I will briefly say that I met Connie, and she was working with a festival that I had a film in, and we just happened to kind of talk, and I wasn't one of those filmmakers that, you know, looks down on staff or thinks I'm the Connie will get this mucky muck filmmaker. So we had this great relationship that we were able to form, and we've been able to be friends over the last over decade now. So I'm very honored today to have her on to talk about Kumuhina. And Kumuhina, just so we can go through the rundown here, was the closing night film at the Spring Hawaii International Film Festival. That's when I was lucky enough to review it and see a screener. It It was the closing night festival, or closing night film at the Beijing opening night in Osaka. It won the New York, and that says AA, is that Asian Film Festival?
Yeah, the Asian Film Fest.
Okay, and then it won in Rhode Island, and it was the winner at the Frameline, which is, I know, is a huge documentary festival. We have, we'll go more into the screenings and what the film's done with Connie, but just to give you guys a brief synopsis here, synopsis here is, you know, and of course this film takes place in Hawaii, so I really want you guys to understand that Hawaii is a place that is very big on culture, and I think every place has its culture, but this is a place where you are accepted by the culture, and the culture, if you don't judge it, doesn't judge you, and it's a culture of dance and food and story and people, and it's universal themes, but to all of us that have lived in Hawaii or from Hawaii, understand that little bit extra, as we call it, the aloha spirit. So the synopsis here is, imagine a world where a little boy can grow up to be the woman of his dreams. A young girl can rise to become the leader among men, and that's welcoming us to Kumuhina's Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of follows a momentous year in her life in modern Honolulu. Hina Wongkulu, native Hawaiian mahu, which, please, for the audience, tell me what would be the best way of explaining that, because I know it's used in a very derogatory way, and I want to pay respect
to
how...
In Western terms, that would be transgender.
Okay, transgender, okay. And
yeah.
The teacher uses traditional culture to inspire a student to claim her place as leader of the school's all-male hula troupe. For those of you that don't know, hula in Hawaii is kind of, and correct me if I'm wrong on anything, hula is, you know, is Hawaii. Hawaii is not just Diamond Head and tourists. And there's nothing wrong with that. This isn't going to be a trash tourist show. and it's an incredible docudrama that unfolds like a narrative film, and it reveals a side of Hawaii that is rarely seen on screen. And I have to just say before we go into our questions here, Connie, is that that was something that I was very thankful to see. And I was fortunate to be raised down in Waikiki by Hamburger Mary's. And so I never had any kind of judgments about the film. I don't judge anyone. I don't bring anything to the table. It's if you're cool, then you're cool. And so with that synopsis, I kind of wanted to get into having you kind of explain more wherever you wanted to start, maybe what got you guys wanting to do this film now. Anywhere you want to go, we can roll with that.
Well, Dean Hamer and Joe Wilson are the co-directors, producers on the film. They're actually originally from Washington, D.C. area. So you've got two Haole guys coming over to Honolulu. And they've been transitioning over the last, I would say, 7 years, 10 years, bought a home up on the North Shore, and we're in transition and wanting to make home in Hawaii through those years. They both love body surfing and surfing. So finally when they were, I think it was about a two-year transition, they were looking at that last 2 years like, we want to make documentaries and we want to make them in Hawaii, based in Hawaii. And so their film they had did previously was called Out in Silence, which literally went around the world. And what I admire with them is their tenacity to go. I mean, they went over 800 schools with that film.
Wow.
Within the continental U.S., carrying that message that bullying is not okay in schools.
That's amazing. One quick thing before you continue. Connie said Howley for the listeners on the mainland. That's a term of in Hawaii it can be used as a very derogatory way, but it's it basically just means visitor, not foreigner in the sense of like you're from Europe or you don't speak the language. But it is kind of, I'm glad that you mentioned this, Connie, because it is kind of a nice, rite of passage where you can kind of be
mm-hmm.
seen as that, and then you find yourself at Tutu's Luau, and it's kind of like, who cares that you're that? So these
mm-hmm.
guys that are carrying their message around the world is something that that what Connie's hitting on is aloha. It is about what
mm-hmm.
is your intention and what are you here to say? Are you just here to buy a house on the mountain and think you're better than others, or are you here to throw something in the pot? So I didn't mean to cut you off there, Connie, but I just wanted people to know that for these guys to be doing that would be something that would kind of be like the getting into the Hawaii world of spreading
right.
the aloha and the peace.
And it's a perfect example of, two Howley or two white guys or two foreigners or two Kama'ainas. You know, those are all different terms that we use, people that make this home part of the time and they're, back and forth. But
right.
to be able to carry this message at the level that they carry as to Haole guys tells a lot about the aloha spirit in Hawaii. That in
yes,
itself
yes.
tells
yes,
you a lot.
Cause that,
right
yeah, because that's a big, what Connie mentioned, a tremendous problem is the, and not to turn this into a different subject, but is the...
Mm-hmm.
Turning is the going there and buying a home and you're there 1 week a year and then there's this big other, homeless issue. So these are guys
right.
that, I've only talked to over email, of course. And I could tell just from, a few sentences that they had that aloha spirit and has in Hawaii, we say mana. Which means power and, something to give to
mm-hmm.
everything. So so with that, how did it evolve into...
where it is.
Yeah, into Kumuhina.
Yeah.
I mean, why that subject?
Well, I've been working on another project, a couple of projects here as a producer and a director. And so they had, I think, three ideas or five ideas. And they kind of bounced off all the ideas with me, and I kind of just, and they wanted to work with me as their co-producer, cultural advisor regarding those subjects. So I kind of went down the list of each of these. That one's not going to work. I already know what road you're going to hit on this. And we sat down and we talked, and I was like, now that one with Hina, I can work with you on that. Hina is honestly like my Hanai sister, my adoptive sister. We share a lot of values. We've worked together, at that time, 10 years prior, on another documentary feature that I produced and did all the historical part, which was called Te Kulana, Te Mahu, Remembering a Sense of Place. Hina was that person that opened that film for the first 5 minutes, talking about herself 10 years earlier. Now, of course, this is now 14 years ago.
Okay.
So that relationship was there for many years, and we have done a lot of, Hina and I have done a lot of outreach together within the community and schools regarding LGBT education with teachers, social workers, doctors, in that whole arena for quite a
right.
few years. And as as Hanai sisters, we've, I don't know, that spiritual connection where we help each other no matter what's going on, and we've,
right.
You know, I get emotional even talking about it, but we still do that today. We help each other, you know.
Well, that's the true aloha, and that's the,
yeah.
You know, when people ask me about the aloha spirit or the cultural separations, I always say, you know, I got there as the fat howly kid, and I left with, I'd be invited to 3 barbecues a week, and that's,
yeah.
You know, it's anyone can transcend, and so that was another reason why I wanted to bring you on this, bring you on here,
yeah.
And talk about this film. So for those of you that have in any way kind of gotten lost, this is basically, you know, a transgender film, and it's about a hula teacher, and it's. As I go here and I look at the past screenings, I wanted to ask you about any form of reception,
because I'm
looking here and I'm thinking, you know, usually when we make a local film, we're lucky if we get L.A. or New York, but this is, I see coming up, we have Puerto Rico, we have Philadelphia, for you people in New York,
great.
There's a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
breaking
a couple of
barriers.
Yeah, New York,
yeah.
A couple of screenings. There, you guys sold out ArcLight on Sunset, which that's amazing. This has been in Portland, New Zealand, Illinois, Minnesota, the Maui Film Festival, Berkeley, perfect place for this film. I love Berkeley, Kansas City, Dallas. So for those of you people, let me just while we're on it, to plug it here. It says, December 10th and 11th at the Ford Foundation, as part of the New York Film Series. And then, wow, congratulations at New York University on December 11th. So that shows you the power of this film that we're looking here as we go on. Oakland, Utah, it's just this endless list. And this is really fantastic because as locals, we have a thing like Connie had mentioned of it's more exciting for us to see our friend's film do well than it is for our film to do well in some senses, because we
right.
have this kind of support system and we all know each other and we're all, you know, how can we help pursue it. So with this, how it's been so successful, and you have these personal attachments, what I got so excited by how many times it's screened, I wanted to save it for the show. What has been some good or maybe some negative reactions that you would like to talk about?
Well, I know you started off with saying it's a transgender film. And
right.
If you were to ask Hina that, she would say, it's not a transgender film. It's about my life. And let me clarify something, what makes this film kind of change perspectives of Hawaii and culture is transgender is a Western terminology. And in Hawaiian culture, we say mahu. And mahu, so I be really clear on this, in we're talking pre-contact, to contact, first missionaries, first time, you know, you got Captain Cook coming. Mahus were in a hole are people that, you know, if you had 5 sons, you would have one of those sons that would carry the female role within the Hawaiian family. And that role carried the female and the male. Now, that doesn't mean that they may look female, however, they're going to carry all the characteristics of female, and actually the kings and the queens of the monarchy of that time revered the mahu as being kind of a step above because they're able to carry that dual role. And mahus were revered as to also carry genealogies of the families, which are so strong within Hawaiian culture. At the same time, and it wasn't until Ke Kulana He Mahu Remembering Sense of Place, that documentary, where the Mahu community here adopted the term Mahu Wahini, and Mahu Wahini being transgender, actual transgender. They still use the term Mahu as a cover word, as a blanket, but it's within a culture itself is also going through changes. So people go, well, how many Mahus are there? Oh, there's about 600 just here on the islands.
Right.
Maybe more, you know. And is Mahu mean just male to female, or is it female to male as well?
Oh,
and in
okay.
today's terminology, it can go both ways. In today's terminology, modern world.
Okay.
So
yeah, because I remember
I wanna,
in the film it did describing
clear.
That.
Yeah, so in culturally, you want to think of that. Hina herself is the chair of the Hawaiian Burial Council, which is through our Department of Land and Natural Resources, and it's through the governor's office. So she protects all of what we call the o'iwi, or the bones of our ancestors, when they have new digging sites or new, as we have rail project coming through here, we actually will have like a BART system coming through Hawaii above ground, you know.
Right.
So in this modern world, that chairing all of that, she carries the role, yes, as female 24/7, and carries that role as somebody who's very respected within the community in Hawaii. And as Hina, Hina Le Moana Wong, and then Kalu, her married name. And the story of Kumu Hina is about her being a teacher amongst her kids, which are in a charter school, a Hawaiian-based, cultural-based Hawaiian charter school. And she's been teaching there for, oh, my God, maybe a decade, maybe longer now, since it started. And so she does that. She does the Hawaiian Burial Council. She also, at the legislature, opened with the opening prayer, Hawaiian, you know, as a kumu opening. And with our legislature at the Capitol, you know, she is very regal, carries herself that way, very humble, makes a mistake, will make that apologies and very teachable at the same time, very strong in her voice, very well respected in her voice. Hina, in this story, as we go with Kumu Hina, meets a young man from Tonga, and it was actually another project that I was working on called Tongan Tatatau, about the tattooing, the old way, like 200 years ago in Tonga. And so I was there producing on another project and for Pacific Islanders Communications. And that was about five years ago. So when I was there, I asked her to be the cultural advisor there because she speaks several languages. She has the gift of knowing Samoan, knowing Tongan language, knowing a little bit of the Micronesian language, knowing the Hawaiian language, and even speaking a little Chinese and wanting to learn more. So she has that, we call mana'o, knowledge of that ancestry of knowing those different languages. And so when we were there, she had met Hema, which is her husband. And Hema, we ended up hiring on as our production assistant and driver while we were there. You know, we took care of them, and it was, that's how they had met, was during that time. And so, of course, that relationship, I was so happy for Hina, you know, and later they did get married. And so this story follows Hema coming from Tonga and Fiji to America, which is, we call the continental U.S. America, and Hawaii its own country.
Oh, right,
and, you
no,
know,
of course, yes.
Culturally, it's so strong. But, you know, he comes to Hawaii, and the changes are so different, and we follow their story through that very verite style, real life, what's going on with the cameras for the next 3 years as she's going through all those changes that people are not aware of when you have somebody that's coming from another country to Hawaii, and following her story. And of course, in the end, I don't even want to say where the end goes, because
right.
the story still goes on today. You know?
Right. Well, plus there's a small degree where Hawaii, and rightfully so, I mean, I remember when I moved there, and it fits into to what you're saying about where we're, you know, going to other countries and knowing other cultures, where, you know, a little kid from Orange County, and getting there and, you know, not understanding language, but, you know, you're told that it's America, and we definitely don't need to go down that track. But,
right.
And then kind of hearing, I only share this story because it fits into what this film was about culture and accepting of culture,
mm-hmm.
was that this, he was probably 6 or 7, he told me, "Go home, Haole." And first of all, I didn't know what that word meant. And
mm-hmm.
for those of you listening, like we had said, it can be used as a very derogatory term. And there is many, the majority of Hawaiian people I know do not like even, you know, using the word, unless it's just to actually say, like, he doesn't have any heritage or his uncle wasn't born here. So for me, I was
right.
kind of like, why is this kid calling me a name? For those of you that don't know, there's people that use it like the N-word. And so it's very
mm-hmm.
a way of kind of like thinking, well, my dad just moved me here. Why do I need to go home? So I really want people to take this show and what Connie is talking about and do some research and look at that. This film is, if I remember correctly, is an hour and 20 minutes or an hour and, you know, it's not a super
mm-hmm.
long film, but it opened your mind to these doors to understand, you know, not, I don't like using the word different because we're all the same, but another side of culture and another side of Hawaii that, you know, isn't.
It's a shift. It's a shift.
Yeah, it's a shift. Perfect word, a shift, because I was going to say it's not Hawaii 5-0, but we all love Miss Angie LaPrette, so I don't want to say anything that would seem bad about Hawaii 5-0. But we need to, with especially with this and with all cultures, accept it for what it is and accept each other. And that was why I was so happy to see this film. And it really is, everyone. My next question would be, since people in New York obviously have their chance coming up, is there anything that you can discuss of, is this going to be coming to video on demand or DVD, or are we still on just a festival?
Well, just talking with a dear friend of ours with Ford Entertainment, probably going through distribution internationally. However,
congratulations.
Our funders on this are through ITVS, based out of San Francisco, and Pacific Islanders in Communications. We call it PIC.
Right, yes, here in Honolulu.
And that's our national PBS consortia through Pacific Islanders. So those funders, especially after our San Francisco screening and the feedback that people gave us, you know, with the sold out and all the, oh my God, it must have been 40 mahus that all came together from Hawaii that live in San Francisco Bay Area that showed up there. It was like a 10-minute standing ovation. We just cried up on stage. But
well,
after
that's great, because I remember when you invited me to that was in the Castro, and so that has the Harvey Milk connection, and that has the history of human rights activism.
They,
so that's like, ground zero, you know.
Yeah, that's ground zero. And even for the festival director, she goes, "We've never had an audience like this for, like, they won't sit down. They're still standing up, and they're still, I mean, we were just in tears, all of us, just like, wow. And so we had the folks from ITVS there. They kept discussing it with PBS nationally, and they didn't know where to place it, to be honest with you, for national broadcast.
Right.
They said they'd give us an answer, and they were just like, we, it's kind of like Asian, Native American, it's this, it's that, it's Hawaiian, but where do we place it? We don't know the audience. And so there was a lot of discussion. We thought we'd find out in a week. We didn't get an answer until like 4 weeks later that finally they positioned it with Independent Lens. So it will be on national broadcast the middle of next year.
Independent Lens. Congratulations. That is so,
yeah.
I was HIF closing night. That was your premiere, correct? The spring,
yes.
HIF? Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
So I was, just for listeners, I was very fortunate to review for Influx Magazine, which you guys can search this at www.influxmagazine.com. Again,
mm-hmm.
I don't like talking about myself, but I want to give you guys a reference point, and you can search
mm-hmm.
the film, and there's a review. But, you know, I knew Connie, and as fellow locals, we don't tell each other something just to say it. So I knew 5 or 10 minutes into it that I was watching something very special, that I thought, you know, the world has to see this, that this is the things that, you know, that I've dealt with being a mainlander kid who came there and can't say I'm Hawaiian, and
mm-hmm.
my father's white and my mother's Mexican, so I've always dealt with the I'm not one culture, the other. So this film really hit home for me because it was, as you said, with the male-female, is that the thing that, I mean, I literally was floored when the film said, you know, the idea of we're all men and women, and
mm-hmm.
I think we
mm-hmm.
so forget that all of us are half woman and half man, and
mm-hmm.
and it's not even about politicizing it or getting into any of the other issues or the judgments. But it's that, you know, we all find those days of the week where we're just like, gosh, I sound like my dad. And then we do something, we're like,
right.
That's what my mom would have said if this came up. And it's and I'm at that age where it's starting to, you know, kind of go like, whoa. So that is it was such an important thing that your guys' film was saying, was that we all are half and half. So it's not about the sexual orientation or the judgment or the LGBT, that it's just about we're all here.
And Martin Luther King said it best, don't judge me by the color of my skin, judge me by my character.
Oh, yes,
you know?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And isn't that the essence of
completely.
Even in Hawaiian culture is the same thing. You know, you have Hina, who is Hina, who is just, you know, an amazing woman, period. And you have Hema. And in between all of that, even for herself, she goes, don't, she wanted to make sure this is not branded a transgender film. This is a film about Hina in her life. And it's very fluid. It is very, very fluid. And what I mean by that is, and you just said it, we're all half female, half male. We all carry both of those hormones, both. And fluidity that goes in between there is built. It was who our character is. So when you judge me, it's not whether I'm Hapa-Haole, Haole, Hawaiian, Chinese, all of this. Judge me by my character of who I am as a person.
Right,
or
exactly.
Or how I carry
myself.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she embodies that.
Yeah, that
very
was my
so.
That was what I liked most about the film was the idea of, you know, the education and the, like you had met, you know, briefly you had mentioned the, you know, the burial sites and the to expand it to you know, Senate, and but that really we're just into, and this directly has to do with the film, we are just so deep in the hole of judgment mm-hmm. and forgetting that we're the same, that sometimes it's almost like scary to think that, you know, we have to turn to a film to feel mm-hmm. accepted. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but to just be like, you know, gosh, I have to put in a, I have to put on an online screener to feel like I can be me and accept them. I can't go to the grocery store without getting, you know, I have hair down to my shoulders, so I get the long hair look. If I have a beard, I get the I'm Mexican look. So mm-hmm. this film for everyone, you know, write it down, put it on your film list. Those of you in New York, you know, again, New York University and the New York Film Series, and you can go to www.kumuhina.com. That's KUMUHINA.com. And please make sure and tell your friends, like we've been discussing, this film is about finding that space to set whatever judgments aside and to just accept that, you know, like you said, Martin Luther King, my favorite quote from is John F. Kennedy when he said, we're, you know, we all inhabit this planet, we all breathe the same air, and we're all mortal. And mm-hmm. I always go back to that. I always just think, you know, we're in this same globe that's spinning around, and we all need oxygen, and we all need food.
Mm-hmm.
So why
mm-hmm.
am I looking at you any differently? Like,
mm-hmm.
So thank you so much for coming on today, Connie. And the last thing that I wanted to wrap up, because we have a few minutes with you, is that if there's any, we have a good 4 minutes, if there's anything that you have coming up, that you would like to plug for your producing or your company, or, you know, it's literally just a, you know, a fire away with it.
Well, the company I'm with is called Hula Girl Productions. Been around for about 15 years now. And Hula Girl Productions is on a website.com. And, you know, I do documentaries. We have some History Channel things that we've just worked on recently based on a book called Ride the Thunder out of Vietnam. Another one is called The Glades Project, and you can go to thegladesproject.com. And that is also about the history of downtown Hotel Street, and which is our red light district of Honolulu, and that's from the 60s and 70s. And that was about mahus during that time, about a law that was in effect, where if you were a man dressed as a woman, that you were arrested on the spot, thrown in jail, $1,000 fine, and it was 6 months to a year in prison. And this was from 1963 to 1974. So that's a project that I, a passion project that I've had for many years that I'm wanting to finish. And I keep, you know, trying to get the funding. And so I have a lot of different projects going, but that's my passion project. And, you know, history should always be remembered so that we don't replay that again. But, you know, Hina, of course, is the girls in the community. I call the girls, the mahus within the community have participated, are very, very supportive of the project. I can't do it without them. We did reenactment scenes in Hotel Street area a couple of months ago for the documentary. So it's one that a lot of people are waiting on. When is it going to be done? I've done a lot of historical research, the state archives here, as well as with the Supreme Court Library, the laws and information. So I love documentaries because it really, it's like being a detective, you know.
Oh, and, right, right.
Finding the story within each story that people are telling, and it's really my passion. I have narrative features that I work on called Mango Dreams, which is a Hawaii-based film about a Hawaii family that's from the west side, Waianae side. So, I have several, we're finishing up those scenes. We've been working on that for quite a while. We've got the new Red Dragon camera that we're shooting with in Hawaii. So, things just keep, technology changes. We try to keep up with that here in Hawaii. At the same time, we pull from all of our resources from local people that live here. And, yeah, we have wholly local people that we work with on our projects, on these Hawaiian-based cultural projects, because they, in their heart, they've got the Hawaiian culture and spirit right there. They've got the mana, and they want to share those same stories. And so, Hawaii's been my home for a very, very long time, and so that there are so many rich, diverse stories here. And, people, why don't I move to L.A.? Well, I have traveled back and forth, but I tell you what, there's no place like home.
Oh, no, of course, no. There's no place like Hawaii. I miss it. I left three years ago, and I totally miss it.
Yeah, and I have my brothers living on the mainland, my sister here, and I tell you, my brothers wish they could be living back here. And but at the same time, it's not easy, as you know, financially, different things, and you just learn to live differently. But I love what I do. I love my work. I love helping people that come here to want to tell stories and helping them with telling their stories. And that's what my job is as a producer, to be in that creative process, carry that story all the way through.
Right. No, we appreciate that, Connie, and we appreciate what you're doing for Hawaii and the world, because we need that, and we need those historical and social filmmakers that are out there thinking of the bigger picture. And mm-hmm. and again, wanted to thank you for coming on today. For all the we'll be putting this out the day before Thanksgiving, so we want to wish you a happy holiday. And
thank you.
Happy holidays to those of you that will be listening, and have a great Thanksgiving tomorrow. And I look forward to touching base and keeping in touch with you soon, Connie. And again, thank you for all that you shared with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Aloha.
Take care. Well, thank you. That was Connie that joined us for Kumuhina and talking about her film. And I want to leave it again with, this show is dedicated to the great Mike Nichols. You haven't seen his films, go on that Internet Movie Database and check him out. And for all those people that want to go to Hawaii or have been, take the time to learn some history and culture, because it is more than just, boat rides and Diamond Head. And this isn't being political. Like we said, this is humanity. So thank you again for joining us. You'll be hearing this the day before Thanksgiving. We wish you a wonderful holiday from all of us here at Talking Pictures. And we look forward to our next episode in December. In the meantime, make sure and watch some good movies. Take care and aloha.